Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Heather Holm is a pollinator conservationist and author of 4 books, Pollinators of Native Plants, Bees, Wasps, and the most recent book, Common Native Bees of the Eastern United States. Heather's expertise includes the interactions between native pollinators and native plants and the natural history of biology and native bees and predatory wasps. Welcome to the program, Heather.
Thanks, Holly. Great to be with you.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day and not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. So I'll start with this. How did you get into being a pollinator conservationist?
Well, first, what I can tell you is it was by no means a straight path. I studied horticulture and natural resources management in college. And following graduation, my work largely focused on landscape design and management. So for many years after that, I worked in what I would call traditional horticulture. And then I began to learn about the benefits of native plants. And I shifted my work over time from traditional horticultural landscaping to landscaping with native plants. And that was really, I would say, when I had this epiphany. I began to notice really the significant difference in diversity of insects visiting these native landscapes compared to more traditional landscapes. And so year after year, I was really marveling at this amazing variety of different pollinators that were visiting specific plants. And I started to see these really distinct patterns year after year. The same bee would show up and visit the exact same plant year after year. And this is what I like to call when I literally fell down the insect rabbit hole and never came out. And so becoming more and more curious about these insects, I joined a postdoc and graduate student study group at the local university. I assisted with some pollinator research projects. And after that, that's when I started writing my first book, because I thought, this is just so fascinating. I want to tell other people about it and give them some inspiration on what to plant for pollinators.
Fantastic. So we all know native plants are great. Can you expand on the role that native plants have within a healthy ecosystem with pollinators? And yeah, the importance there.
Sure. I like to think of the native plant pollinator relationship really as the critical foundation of a diverse ecosystem. So the plants are providing food for various organisms, whether it's, caterpillars eating the foliage or other organisms consuming the fruit or the seed that the plants produce. And it's the pollinators that are really helping those plants with the pollination services. And obviously that results in the reproduction of plants when they are able to produce more seed. And then many people really aren't aware that over 80% of flowering plants rely on pollination by some kind of insect where we live in the northern U.S. or less often a bat or a bird. And for bees specifically, you can essentially think of them as vegetarians. They source all of their nutrients from food or nutrients or food from flowers. And it's the female bees that are out visiting these flowering plants. They have structures on their body to collect pollen. They're also collecting some nectar. And it's the pollen and nectar. Those are the two primary ingredients within the food that they provide for their offspring. So bees are really completely dependent on flowering plants. And through their constant visitation, really, to collect these food resources, they're helping to move pollen around from one flowering plant to the next. And if it's from one plant to the next of the same species, that is really what's, resulting in pollination.
Well, and people may not be aware of what the native plants are in their area because they've kind of been extinguished or eliminated. How can one find the specific native plants for their particular area? What's the best source?
That's a great question, Joey. I would say first look for a state resource on or a comprehensive website that is sort of documenting all the different native plants in a given region. There are specific websites I know in Minnesota and Illinois called Minnesota or Illinois Wildflowers, and those are super resources for people living in those states. You can also go to the USDA plants database website, and it shows you county by county where a native plant may occur, so you can hone in on the specific area where you live. The other thing I just wanted to mention about that plant-pollinator relationship and native bees specifically, anywhere between 20 and 45% of native bees are what we call pollen specialists. And so that means that female bee who's, you know, leaving her nest and going out to look for flowering plants, she is specializing on collecting pollen from a specific native plant. And that specialization can be very narrow. So a certain pollen specialist may only visit or, collect pollen from a single plant species. So that's a pretty intricate relationship. And then there are specialists that are a little more broad. So they may go out and search for different plant genera that belong to a single plant family. So, for example, here we are in autumn. There are several native bee species that specialize on collecting goldenrod and aster pollen. So they come out late summer, just before those goldenrods and asters bloom. And then that is their primary food source that they're seeking to feed their offspring. So I think that's a pretty cool relationship that has evolved over many, many millennia. So one reason to appreciate native plants.
So when you see these bees on these specific plants, that's all that all the bees are honed in just for that, let's say, goldenrod. That's all the bees have worked for their whole life. That's all they do.
If they're a specialist of goldenrod, yes. Yeah, if goldenrod is not flowering near where they are or nesting, then they're out of luck, right?
Okay. And then do they search out and find it, and then do they go back to the hive and go, "Okay, everybody, I need helpers," and then lead them to where all the pollen is, or how does that work?
Well, that's the amazing thing about native bees. Most of them are single moms. Okay. So they have these solitary nests, and they do all of the nest building and putting the food in the nest all by themselves. So they don't have any nest mates to communicate resources like would happen in a social hive such as a honeybee colony. So that's much more sophisticated with, you know, many bees living together. But about 90% of native bees have this solitary lifestyle, so solitary nests.
Very interesting. So your latest book is Common Native Bees of the Eastern United States. Tell us more about that book and why one may enjoy it when they pick up a copy.
Yeah, so my latest book is what I call a pocket guide. So it's designed for people, it's small and it's spiral bound, so it's designed for people to throw in their backpack and take with them if they're out on a hike or while they're out in nature. And the book features photos of some of the most common native bee species that they may find or observe while out on their hike. And it also provides a little bit of natural history information and at the family and genus level. So it's really designed to introduce people to bee diversity, and hopefully will start to cultivate some curiosity and wonder. That guide is, I would have to say, very, very different than my other three books, are more in-depth and focus on specific plant-pollinator relationships. They include insect and plant profiles, as well as some identification tips if you're trying to figure out in more detail what BU or wasp perhaps you may be seeing visiting a flowering plant in your garden.
Now, bees, we think of bees in a beehive, but bees live in the ground or in trees, right? And natively?
Yes. So most native bees have nests in the ground, and those, again, are usually solitary nests, not always. And then the small minority do nest above ground, and for the most part, they're looking for pre-existing cavities, and that can include a hole in wood, such as a standing dead tree or a log lying on the ground. We have some above ground cavity nesters that like to nest in plant stems, and then others will make their own nest. So what we call like a freeform nest, they may form that with pebbles and some mud. And so they're sort of making their own housing structure for their nest.
Now, what are some ways anyone can help pollinators? I know some people will say, well, I don't have a garden. I don't even have land. I rent. What are some ways in which we can all contribute to the benefit of helping pollinators?
Well, even if you don't own property or you don't have your own garden, there are still a number of opportunities. You could consider volunteering with a local nonprofit or government, for a project that is focusing on planting pollinator habitat, or you can volunteer to help restore a park in your neighborhood. You can also consider and look at your community as a whole and, you know, look at where is new pollinator habitat, where could it be incorporated. Sometimes local businesses are amenable to putting in container plantings, and even a small container, if it's planted thoughtfully, can support a few pollinators. The other place that people often overlook is places of worship, so churches, synagogues, etc. They often own extensive amounts of property. So, for example, in my community, many new pollinator planting projects have been initiated by the members of a specific place of worship. So the other thing to keep in mind is there's often grant funding to help fund, you know, this project. So be sure to check with your local watershed or city, county, or state. And that grant funding can help offset the cost of a pollinator planting project. And then I would say if you don't know where to start, contact your local Native Plant Society, Wild Ones chapter, or similar nonprofit that's focusing on pollinator habitat within the community. So you don't need to own your own property to start to make a difference. And if you can't physically volunteer, you can also obviously volunteer for organizations by doing other things, administrative work, outreach work. So every little bit you do like that can help pollinators at a local level.
That's some really great information overall. We really appreciate having you on the program with all this great information. How can people find out more about you and your work?
Oh, thanks for asking, Holly. I would just suggest that people can visit my author website, and it's really full of resources, handouts, plant lists. You'll get lost on there. And the URL is www.pollinatorsnativeplants.com.
And that's where you can get the book as well? The books?
Yes. Yep. You can learn about the four different books I've authored and figure out which one might be one that would work for you.
Well, Heather, we greatly appreciate the time and the information you've shared with Holly and myself and all of our listeners, and the knowledge that you've enlightened us in regards to pollinators.
Oh, thanks so much, Joey. It was great to speak with you both.
Absolutely.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.